ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। पूर्णमद इस् दि इन्वोकेशन् फार् गीतावास उपनिषत्। So when we do this Upanishad, we'll chant this in the beginning and the end as well. So now let us chant the Upanishad verses. This Upanishad has only about 18 mantras. So let's chant that.
पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ ईशावास्यमिदगुं सर्वं यत्किञ्च जगत्यां जगत् तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीथामागृधः कस्य स्विद्धनम्। कुर्वन्देवेह कर्माणि जिजीविषे क्षतगोसमाः एवं त्वयि नान्यथेतोऽस्ति न कर्म लिप्यते नरे। असूर्यानामते लोका अन्धेन तमसा भृताः साधुश्चेत्रेत्याभिगच्छन्ति ये केचात्महनो जनाः। अने जदेकं मनसो जवीयो नैन देवा आप्नुवन् पूर्वमर्षत्। सद्धावतो ज्ञानप्ये विदिष्ठत्तस्मिन् नपो मातरिष्वादघाति। तदेजति तन्नैजति तद्दूरे तद्वन्तिके। तदन्तरस्य सर्वस्य तदु सर्वस्याच्य बाह्यतः। यस्तु सर्वाणि भूतान्यात्मन्येवानुपश्यति। सर्वभूतेषु आत्मानं ततो न विजुगुप्सते। यस्मिन् सर्वाणि भूतान्यात्मैवाभूद्विजानतः। तत्र को मोहक्कः शोक एकत्वमनुपश्यतः। सपर्यदा शुक्रमकायमव्रणमस्नाभिरगो शुद्धमपापविद्धम्। कवेर्मनीषी परिभू स्वयं भूयाथा सख्यतोऽर्थान्यरथाच्छाश्वतीभ्यः समाभ्यः। अन्धं तमः प्रविशन्ति ये विद्या उपासते। ततो भूय इव ते तमोयौ विद्याया गुरताः। अन्यदेवाहुर्विद्यया अन्यदाहुरविद्यया। इति शुश्रुमधीराणां येन सद्विजचक्षिरे। विद्यां चाविद्यां च यस्तद्वेदोभयगुंसः। अविद्यया मृत्युं तीर्त्वा विद्यया मृतमश्नुते। अन्धं तमः प्रविशन्ति ये सम्भूतिमुपासते। ततो भूय इव ते तमो यहु सम्भूत्यागोरताः अन्यदेवाहुः सम्भवादन्यदाहुरसम्भवात् इति शुश्रुमधीराणाम् येनस्तद्विचक्षिरे सम्भूतिम् च विनाशम् च यस्तद्वेदो भयगुंसः विनाशेन मृत्युम् तीर्त्वा सम्भूत्यामृतमश्नुते हिरण्मयेन पात्रेण सत्यस्यापि हितम् मुखम् तत्त्वम् भूषन्न पादृणु सत्यधर्माय दृष्टये भूषन्नेतर्षेयमसूयप्राजापत्यव्यूहरश्मीम् समोहते ज्योयत्ते रूपम् कल्याणतमम् तत्ते पश्यामि यो सावसौ पुरुषः सोऽहमस्मि वायुरनिलमृतमखेदम् भस्मान्तर्गुम् शरीरम् ॐ क्रतो स्मर कृतगुं स्मर क्रतो स्मर कृतगुं स्मर अग्नेनय सुपथाराये अस्मान् विश्वानि देववयुनानि विद्वान् युयोध्यस्मज्जुहुराणमे नो भूयिष्ठाम् ते नम उक्तिम् विधेम
ईशावास्य उपनिषत् इस् पार्ट् आफ् दि यजुर् Veda. Now this Upanishad is only containing 18 mantras. Just 18 mantras. Bhagavad Gita, as you know, contains 18 chapters, 701 shlokas. Whereas this is only 18 mantras. Now as we have discussed before, even in the introduction to Keno Upanishad, I had mentioned Upanishadic students are students who are at a very high level of spiritual development. Generally, the four goals of human beings are discussed in the shastras. They are called Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. Majority of us are stuck in Dharma, Artha and Kama. So, very few of us rise above this mundane existence, survival game, and we seek that ultimate goal of liberation, moksha. So, those who have the goal of liberation alone are the Upanishadic students. In fact, the word Upanishad, one of the meaning of the word Upanishad is, Upa means near, the nearest to you. The nearest to you is the Atma. That world, this Asia, that Asia, this Delhi, that Delhi, this Prithviraj Road, that Prithviraj Road, this house, that room, this body, that body, this mind, that mind, this intellect, this vasanas, that vasanas, this Atma. Uske baad there is no that Atma. This Atma, the closest, that's you. So Upanishad, the subject matter of Upanishad is Atma. And Ni means Nishchaya Jnanam. It gives clear cut knowledge of Atma. Now, what am I going to get by knowing that knowledge of Atma? By clearly knowing about who am I, essentially, what happens is, the samsara is removed. That is shabd. Shabd means it completely removes the samsara. So, Upanishad means a literature which gives you clear knowledge of the Atma, who you essentially are, knowing which this samsara, this bondage, you will be free from. This is Upanishad. Now, what do we mean by samsara? Let us understand this clearly. See, every human being is made up of a physical body, mind, intellect, enlivened by Atma. So we are a combination of spirit and matter. Now, when the individual meets the world, there is experience. Series of such experiences is called life. So, what is our life? Full of experiences. Stream of experiences. Flow of experience. From birth to death, it's only experiences after experience. Now, when we are experiencing this world, out of ignorance, we are experiencing this world as this limited self. And when we experience this world is what? It's made up of objects and beings. Objects, emotions and thoughts. So what is world? World is equal to objects, emotions and thoughts. Who are you? Body, mind, intellect, enlivened by Atma. So, with your body, you go through various perceptions, you execute various actions. With your mind, you go through various emotions. With your intellect, you go through various thoughts. Isn't it? Perceptions, actions, emotions and thoughts. So, this is what you go through. But once you have gone through this, the mind ties this individual to these experiences. This mental tying is called bondage. For example, now this coronavirus COVID-19 situation is going on. We thought the worst is over. Now the, let's say, the second mutant. Now they are even talking about triple mutant, this mutant, that mutant, Indian variant, American variant, sorry, Brazilian variant, South African variant and all these kind of things. So, there is a threat. There is an happening from the outside. Now, that is there outside of us. That is the virus outside of us. When we are experiencing this pandemic, this situation, the mind is rattled, goes through the emotion of fear. There is this inner virus called fear. Now this fear is samsara. What do you mean? The pandemic is there. General threat is there. But your mind starts worrying, becomes anxious, goes through all those kind of things. That's called samsara. You have to deal with the pandemic by following the advices of the doctors, the scientific fraternity, immunity you've got to strengthen. Do whatever you can, you do. Maintain distance, wear masks. Sanitize, do this, do that, everything. If you follow, relatively you are safe. But this gets into your system, in your mind, and you start imagining all kinds of things. That is called samsara. That mental happening, worry, anxiety, these are all called samsara. So a jnani who gained the knowledge through the Upanishad and realized the self is liberated from this samsara. It's not that for him COVID-19 will not be there. Of course it will be there. So there are people who are, so do you mean to say that when this kind of situation is there, you Upanishadic students won't take the vaccine? Who said that? So that is, does it mean that you guys are afraid? It's not seer. It is how you deal with the external situation, you deal with it. See, if you are expecting the worst to happen, you are a pessimist. But if you are prepared to deal with it, you are a practical guy. The other is, you are going on worrying about it mentally. This is samsara. So there is no samsara as far as a person who is liberated is concerned. The situation is there. What is to be done? Done. That's it. It doesn't get into the mind. Like we have said in our class, food should be either on the plate or in your pate. It should not go into your mind. When the food goes into your mind, there is samsara. Anything for the pet. Eyes are there to see color and form. And nose will smell, tongue will taste, all this will go on. But why should it go into your head and then create repercussions? That is called samsara. So once you gain that knowledge of your true nature, the samsara will not be there. And all this samsara that you have created till date will dissolve and no more fresh samsara will be created. So Upanishad. And this Upanishad is called as Isavasya Upanishad. And they combine together, it's called Isavasyopanishad. Isavasya means, see, to explain what is obvious, we don't need the Upanishads. We don't need the scripture. The scripture comes to explain what is not so obvious to our senses. What is obvious to our senses is the names and forms. The objects, emotions and thoughts. These are obvious. But, like for example, what is obvious is the pots are obvious. What is not obvious when we are caught up in the play of pots is the clay. The clay is not obvious. We don't see the clay. Similarly, when we see this world, we see the various names and forms. We don't see that Lord or Ishvara or the Brahman or the pure consciousness which pervades this whole thing. So we are all lost in the Nama Rupa. So the very first mantra of this Upanishad talks about that. Isa Vasyam Idam Sarvam. So the whole world is actually pervaded by that Isha. But that Isha is not available to the senses. Therefore the scripture talks about that's the truth. So it talks about it. And by knowing that, you understand that this world is a superimposition. And by understanding that this is a superimposition, the superimposition will not have adversary effect on you. Today, you are involved in the superimposition and the superimposition is causing all kinds of adverse effects on your system, on your life. So therefore, these Upanishads talk about it. They also talk about how to get to that goal. What would be the benefit we get through that knowledge? And what kind of qualities help us in gaining this knowledge? So it talks about the knowledge and the qualities that are essential to gain this knowledge. And what would be the effect of gaining that knowledge? Why should we strive to gain that knowledge? What are the obstacles? How to overcome? This is how the Upanishads generally focus and talk about that. By knowing about your true nature, you get rid of samsara. Whereas in the Bhagavad Gita also talks about it. But Bhagavad Gita also talks about achieving dharma artha kama. How to acquire, how to enjoy, how to be successful. Now here the Upanishad student has understood all this bakwas. We, even after coronavirus situation, we are still not understood, many of us. I don't think so. Even I hope there should be no third wave, fourth wave. This itself should be enough. But we don't know. I don't know what lessons we have learned. Everything that we have, whatever it may be, it's all there stagnating. The cars have been parked for days together, months together, in the garage, of no use. Many things are no use. So, finally, what is essential, what is non-essential, have we learned? How, what do you call, insignificant or small we are. This invisible virus can cause such havoc. It shows us that we are powerless. We are a small dot. Are we learning those lessons? And whatever we've been engaging in this life till day and have accumulated have all proven to be useless. So then at least we should learn from that yeah, other than the transactional thing, it is of no use. So the Upanishadic students are those who have understood that. They say we want only liberation. They are not enamored by the worldly attractions. They are very clear. Iron and gold is good for buying iron and gold. Nothing more, nothing less. So therefore, they want moksha, liberation. Nothing else. So Upanishad directly caters to them. Now, this Upanishad, like I said, has only 18 mantras. And in the beginning, Swamiji gives the thought flow through the topics. These topics are the result of Swamiji's research. So the very first mantra talks about the path of renunciation of knowledge, meditation. That's what the first mantra talks about. From the highest level, it caters to the student at the highest level. If you are not at that level, then it says go and do action, karma. When they say karma, they only know selfless karma. They don't know anything selfish. They don't know what is selfishness. So, first knowledge, then karma. How we put it to us is, first karma, reduce the bulk of your desires, then go to jnana. But in the Upanishadic class, the fellow is not understanding the knowledge, go and do karma. Why karma? Because you still have to qualify. You still have to understand. It's not easy. See, you are sitting in the PhD class of mathematics. You're not understanding. So they say, okay, get back to your 10th standard, study all those things and come back. They are at that height. But how we have to go is we have to go through the 5th standard, 10th standard, 12th, graduation, post-graduation, then PhD. So here, talking at that level, is a first straight away talks about that path of knowledge, renunciation. Knowledge and renunciation are two sides of the same coin. And meditation, he talks about that, from that angle. If you are not at that level, he says, yeah, better go back and do karma yoga. Do enough karma, qualify and then come. If you are neither here nor there, then you are, as far as you are concerned, you are committing a spiritual suicide. That's what the third verse talks about. There are people who are neither doing karma yoga, nor are they at that high level, obviously. So what are they doing? They are just indulging in the worldly thing. It's a spiritual suicide. Because they are only going to go on increasing desires. They won't be happy materially also. Nor are they going to spiritually grow because they'll be increasing vasana. So it's a spiritual suicide completely. Then verse number 4 to 8, he talks about the goal of evolution. They try to explain the inexplicable truth through contradictory terms. And through that, they try to communicate. That is from verse 4 to 8. Then, from 9 to 14, the integral sadhana, action and meditation is talked about. Where one should not get involved in action or meditation. The problem is, the karma and upasana, both should be combined for our chitta shuddhi and chitta ekagrata. Chitta shuddhi means self-purification. Chitta ekagrata means focus, thought focus. Now, the whole thing is, you are that Atma. You are the pure consciousness. You are God. You are the reality. You are the truth. The truth is covered by vasanas, ignorance as it says. So you don't have to do something to get there. You just have to remove the ignorance or vasanas. What remains is the truth. So, you don't have to achieve it. You are already there. You just have to remove the ignorance. So you need to purify the inner personality and make it single focused. When the mind is extroverted, it runs in all directions and it will not be focused. So you need to remove the ignorance, the desires, and give it a single-pointed focus. So that karma yoga and upasana helps. But the problem is, people get involved in karma and upasana. And if you get involved in karma, you'll go up to swarga and come back. If you get involved in upasana, you'll go up to brahmaloka and come back. Maximum. There are different lokas. The lokas doesn't mean there are different geographical places. What it means is different mental frequencies. That's what you need to understand. Different lokas. Mental thought vibrations, frequencies. These are all states of the mind. There is no geographical place. So, he talks about that from 9 to 14. And then he talks about the drama of realization from 15 to 17. How in the final stages, ego is dissolved and the self is realized. And he puts it up as a drama, as it were, in 15 to 17. And then in 18, the teacher and the taught together, they pray. Thus the Upanishad comes to conclusion. These are the 18 mantras. This is what the Upanishad focuses on. And for every Upanishad, there is an invocation, prayer. Anything we start with a prayer. Prayer is not beggary. See, we clearly understand, as this individuals, we are limited. And we are venturing upon a particular task. So we understand that our self-effort is very important. But equally, what is important is the cooperation from others, especially from the forces over which we have no control. So we humble ourselves and we pray. And this prayer is also with a clear understanding of the power of the mind. Collectively, when we pray, with no selfishness attached, the thoughts, when it's filled with such pure demand, the supply will be according to that. So there should be no disturbance, no obstacles while we pursue this. And even if there is any obstacles, we should be able to conquer that obstacle. So it's called Shanti Path. So Shanti Path generally will be just that prayer. But in this Upanishad, the Shanti Path itself is almost like an Upanishad. It's a fascinating knowledge That is what Shanti Path is. So generally in Shanti Path, the teacher and the taught together, they pray to remove the obstacle and help them in seeking the truth. Now here in the Shanti Path, the very knowledge is discussed here. So there is one Shanti Path itself is enough. That itself is like full Upanishad. And this Shanti Path is what we generally chant when we conclude the class. So we are familiar with that Shanti Path. Let's chant the Shanti Path now. Om. Om Purnamada Purnamidham Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om. Anything when we start with that mantra Om. The auspicious chant, which is designated as Brahman. Om is considered as the designation of Brahman. Om is not a word. It's a combination of three sounds. Sound is the manifestation of silence. Silence represents the truth, the unmanifest reality. And the silence pervades the sound. Sound emanates from silence, exists in silence, disappears in silence. And this sound which pervades, the silence which pervades the sound is the truth. So Om is a combination of three sounds, A, U, M. When you say Ah, your mouth is fully open and the sound emanates from its source. When you say Ooh, the mouth is not fully open, it's half open. It's the mid-range of sound. And when you say Mm, the lips are closed, the mouth is completely closed. It's that last range of sound where the sound slowly disappears. So A, Ooh, and together covers the entire range of sound. So A, U, M, since it covers the entire range of sound, it's taken to be something that covers the entire manifestation, the world. So A, U, M is taken to be the manifested world. Ah, when you say your mouth is fully open. The fully opened state is called waking state. In waking state, the consciousness is enlivened the causal body, subtle body and the gross body. That's the waking state. The fully open state. Fully awakened state. So therefore, Ah is taken to represent the waking state. Then when you say Ooh, the mouth is not fully open. So that is taken to represent the dream state. In dream state, the gross body is not there. The causal body and the subtle body is there, which is enlivened by the Atma. That's the dream state. Not the gross body is still not enlivened. That's the dream state. And when you come to deep sleep state, mouth is fully closed. Means what? The manifestation has not happened. Only the seed is there. It is still unmanifest, but it's not the pure consciousness. It's pure consciousness plus the seed, which is the causal body. That is what is represented by So A represents the waking state, U represents the dream state, Im represents the deep sleep state. And this silence that pervades the sound. So when you say Om, it is sound and silence put together. So that silence which pervades these three states, these three sounds, is representing the pure consciousness. So that pure consciousness is beyond these three states of conditioned consciousness called the waking, dream and deep sleep state. These states arise from the pure consciousness, exist in pure consciousness and disappears in this pure consciousness. So, A, U, M, followed by the silence, all this put together is that mantra, Om, that represents the pure consciousness that pervades the waking, dream and deep sleep state. So, Om is together taken to represent that pure consciousness, Brahman. So, whenever we start anything, we do anything, we chant with Om. Even when we conclude, we do that. Because, why we do this? Because ultimately, that is what is the truth. Without the support of that, nothing is possible. In the Bhagavad Gita we have studied, anything auspicious you start with Om Tat Sat. Not just Om. So here also the Upanishad, the invocation starts with Om. This is the meaning of it. And then he says, Purnam Adha. Adha means that. Purnam. Complete. Whole. Infinite. Whole means W-H-O-L-E. Not H-O-L-E. It's complete. What is complete? That is complete. Om Purnam Adha. Purnam Idam. Purnamada, Purnamidam. Purnamidam means this is also complete. This is also whole. This is infinite. This is Paripurna. Purnamidam. That represents Brahman. This represents world. Purnamada, Purnamidam. Purnamada, Purnamidam. Purnat Purnam Udachyate. Purnat Purnam Udachyate. Means from that Purnam, this Purnam has come about. Purnat Purnam Udachyate. Purnasya Purnamadhaya. Purnameva Avashishyate. What does it mean? First line is, that is infinite. This is infinite. From that infinite, this infinite has come. The world is, what is this world? The world is made up of time, space, causation. What is time? Eternal. What is space? All pervading. What is causation? Endless. Eternal. Because father, son, then father, son, it continues, no? Chain. Like chicken, egg, chicken, egg, chicken. Seed tree, seed tree, seed tree. Endless it goes. So, causation is endless. Eternal, all-pervading, endless. Which is infinite. So, that is infinite. This is infinite. And this infinite has come from that infinite. Then he says, Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Avashishyate. So he says, if you remove this Purnam from that Purnam, what remains is Purnam. Now you say, I am completely lost when you hear that. We will explain that. But what this line says is, if this Purnam is removed from that Purnam, what remains is Purnam. Even in mathematic expression, we say infinite minus infinite is infinite one. Infinite minus infinite is not zero. Infinite minus infinity is infinite. So he says, having drawn out the whole from the whole alone remains. Then he finally concludes, Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So now let's get on to this invocation. What does it say? So, the Brahman, the pure consciousness is complete, paripurna, infinite, it's all pervading, it's everywhere. From that, this has come up. What he wants to say is, this world has no independent existence. Just like how the ornaments have come from gold. Gold is the substratum. The ornaments have come from gold. What is ornaments? The ornaments is names and forms. These ornaments are nothing but names and forms. So, that is infinite. This is infinite. This world is gross world, is what made up of five elements. These five elements are gross elements. And these gross elements should have come from pure elements. And the pure elements contain the qualities of sattva, rajas and tamas. These attributes, sattva, rajas, tamas, are the inherent shakti in Ishvara. And when these shaktis manifest, this world has come up. So he wants to say that this infinite has emerged out of that infinite, like how snake has come about from the rope. Ornaments have come from gold, pots have come from clay. Pots are the effect, clay is the cause. Now, when the pots are made from clay, there is a pot maker. Clay is the material cause of the pot. But there is an efficient cause or intelligent cause called the pot maker. So, the world also should have had a world maker. That's the question comes to us. Now, the world maker, like the pot maker is sitting in the world and making the pot. If he is making this world, where was he sitting? Who created that world? World maker, if there is a world maker, he must be sitting somewhere to make this world. Now where is he sitting? Who made that world? So what Vedanta says is, when you talk about cause and effect relationship for this world, Vedanta says, Brahman is the cause of the world. Or the pure consciousness is the cause of the world. It is both the material cause and the intelligent cause. Then the question comes, how is it possible that both the material and intelligent cause could be same? Therefore, the Upanishad, in Mundaka Upanishad, he gives one example, which is of the spider. The spider is spinning the web from its own saliva. So the saliva is the material cause and the spider is the intelligent cause. And saliva belongs to the spider. So both the material and intelligent cause of the web is spider only. So such a possibility is there to say that the Upanishad gives that example. So then, if you say like spider, Brahman, your consciousness is both the material and the spiritual, I mean the intelligent cause. Then why would this Brahman want to create the world? Is it feeling any less? No, no, no. It's complete. If it's complete, then why should it be creating? When you feel a sense of incompleteness, then you want to create. There is this motive to create. But when there is completeness, why should there be any motive to create? There is no motive. Then what do you mean by saying intelligent cause? So then this example of rope and the snake is given. The rope is there. From the rope, the snake comes along. The rope has no interest in creating the snake, yet the snake is superimposed upon the rope. Similarly, the world is superimposed upon Brahman. Brahman is complete. It has no intention to create the world, but due to its existence, the existence of so-and-so leaves the potential of not understanding so-and-so. And that potential of not understanding so-and-so brings about the misunderstanding of somebody else. Just like that, the existence of Brahman itself leaves the potential of not understanding Brahman as Brahman. And as a result, the superimposition of the world happens. Therefore, this world, which is a superimposition when analyzed, that is also infinite. That is also whole. It's eternal, all-pervading, endless. So from this world, from this Brahman, this world has come about. That is infinite, this is infinite. But then, what is that? That is substratum. What is this superimposition? What is this name and form? What is that beyond name and form? So what is that clay? What is this pot? So now when I understand that and this are essentially same, with this knowledge, I remove the name and form. What will remain? If I remove the pots, the name and form, what will remain? Anybody? Does anyone want to attempt that answer?
Can you repeat it again, please, Guruji?
The pots are nothing but clay. Clay is a substratum. Pots are the shapes for which this name is given. For that form, this name is given. So when I actually understand that this form, this name is nothing but clay, I remove the name and form. What will remain? Clay will remain.
Clay.
That's all. Clay will remain. Yeah. That's all he's saying in the end. Purnasya purnamadhaya purnameva avashishyate. So with the knowledge, you remove the names and forms. What will remain? Brahman. Pure consciousness. So what has actually happened is, the pure consciousness is there, over which the names and forms are superimposed. So the Upanishad gives you that knowledge. So we are praying to the Lord. With this knowledge, we want to remove the names and forms. How much we are studying names and forms, this and that. Have we removed it? We have not removed it. No. We can give one beautiful lecture and get claps and all that. But have you removed the names and forms? There are certain forms you don't like. I hate that fellow man. can't tolerate that person's name. Forget about that person. That name only I don't like. That kind of hatred. But we know, Om Bhur Namarapto Namedam, all that we chant. But that name I can't tell. So they are praying, we should convert this information into knowledge. It's a big obstacle, huh? Not easy. So that, when I understand, when I gain this knowledge, I remove identification with the name and form. What remains is pure consciousness. With the knowledge, I remove that. Purnasya purnamadhar. Purnameva avashishyate. So he says, of the whole, if I remove the whole, what remains is whole. If this infinite world of names and forms is removed, the substratum clay, the substratum pure consciousness remains. Nothing will happen. Everything will continue. Nothing will happen. Nothing actually happened. You superimpose. You remove the superimpose. Everything remains there. So you have been imagining. This is samsara. The whole thing is unnecessary. Imagination. Unnecessarily imagine, create samsara. You go through hell. It's a torture that one goes through. There is nobody hiding there trying to shoot you. You imagine that there is somebody sitting and trying to shoot you, so you are going on hiding and hiding, going through fear, and your body is secreting all the chemicals, and the body has been soaked in the chemicals for days and months together. As a result, you are having all kinds of issues. All this is due to what? Imagination. So what is there? There is only pure consciousness. But display of pure consciousness, you have superimposed the beautiful world. And in this world, friends, enemies, relatives, all things you have created. Now, you are going through samsara. Now with this knowledge of Vedanta, you remove all that names and forms with the knowledge. What will remain? What will remain is only pure consciousness. So in short, what he's trying to say is, even though this world has come from Brahman, nothing has happened to Brahman. It's like, from my knowledge, when I pass on that knowledge to you, my knowledge doesn't reduce. When you light a candle from one candle, the first candle's light doesn't come less, become less. You can light any number of candles, the first candle's light doesn't become any less. So even though the world has come about from Brahman, nothing has happened to the pure consciousness or Brahman. It's still remaining in its pristine glory. Nothing has happened. You are superimposed. From Brahman angle, nothing is happening. From your angle, everything is happening. You have made it into ornaments, necklace. You have made it into earrings. You have made it into wedding ring, nose ring. All these things you have made it into. But it is remaining as gold. So your mind is what has made all this. See, when you crush the glass pieces, you know, and make a what is it called? Yeah, kaleidoscope, right? You put all those glass pieces and crush it and put it there. You keep on rotating it. Different permutation combination comes. Unbelievable permutation combinations. But the base is there. The base is that. That's what he's saying. And base is Ishvara, the base is Purnam. From that, on that Purnam, this world is superimposed. You remove the superimposition, what will be there? Only pure consciousness. And even after this world has come about, what has happened to pure consciousness? Nothing has happened. It is still remaining in its pristine world. This is beautifully explained in the small Puranic story. It says, Lord Narayana and Narad Muni, they were on a world tour. And then, that time, Narad Muni apparently asked, what is this samsara? Can you explain? Lord Narayana said, hey, forget about samsara, get me some water. So he went to get some water from the river. There he saw one beautiful lady. He got involved. He proposed to her. She also accepted her proposal. They got married, settled. They produced children. And then he was in terrible condition. Samsara. Had to pay school fees, this fees, that fees. He couldn't handle it. So he said, oh Narayana, save me from this samsara. Then he heard a voice saying, hey Narada, where is my glass of water? What is that story trying to tell us? This samsara and all this you created in the fraction of second by your own mind. Actually, from Narayana's point of view, what samsara is it? Oh, samsara nahi kuch nahi. Your mind. So these are realities at the mind level. Remember that. See, human audible range is between 20 hertz to 20 kilohertz. There are audible ranges below that and above that. But you and me cannot hear. So let us just argument sake assume that somebody is gossiping beyond the 20 kilohertz sound. No problem. Even if they are abusing us with the choicest of words possible in the dictionary, kuch nahi hoga, because we can't hear. Isn't it? So as far as you are concerned, that doesn't exist. But somebody who can hear that sound, for them it exists. So these are all what? An effect of the play of mind. So these are realities at that level only. I understand that. I am able to see the substratum below. Then with the knowledge of the substratum, I remove the superimposition. Then what remains is substratum. So it's very practical. Once I understand this, once I gain this knowledge, very clearly, I understand it's a reality at that level, I deal with it. I don't unnecessarily let it inside and suffer. That's all he's saying. That's all he's saying. Having drawn out the whole from the whole, whole alone remains. So, when this whole world has come about from Brahman, Brahman doesn't become any less. And also when he gains this knowledge of Brahman and removes the superimposition, what remains is Brahman. All your samsara, everything that you created due to this ignorance will be removed. That's all he's saying. So, Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam. That is infinite, this is infinite. You take a cow for example. Any animal, it's paripurna, it's complete in its own thing. Tiger cannot eat vegetables, has to kill and eat. So it's provided with the nails and the teeth according to that. A tear opened, a buffalo and so the cows are designed in a particular way, so the body is designed accordingly. So each and everything is paripurna in its own thing. You are also paripurna, but due to your mind you don't think so. That's the problem. You thought you will be paripurna when you reach a certain level of richness. And when you reach that level of richness, then you feel that you are not paripurna yet. So the problem is not the amount. The problem is the mind. The problem is not the pandemic. The problem is the mind. First thing we need to do is switch off the TV. And no more WhatsApp messages, all this nonsense going on, sharing information. Most of it are fake. It creates unnecessary panic. You die of fear of pandemic than actual pandemic. If you actually see the death rate, if you analyze and see, many people died of fear of pandemic. So, that fear, that samsara, it's your making. You are paripurna. You don't realize that. That's what he's saying. That is infinite, this is also infinite. You do not have those things, but you are given, compensated with intellect. See, animals, they don't have the choice of action. But they don't have karma. Human being has choice of action. Human being has karma. But human being has been given with the intellect. Everything when you analyze is infinite. It's complete. It's paripurna. But the problem is our mind. Our mind will see somebody else. I don't have that. So you think you are incomplete. The samsara starts. Worries and anxieties are the samsara. Pain is not the samsara. Pandemic is not the samsara. Worry and anxiety because of that is the samsara. That's your creation. That's the creation of your mind. So therefore he says, Purnasya Purnam Purnamadaya. Purnamadaya means Purnam Adaya. You take it out. You remove this name and form. Which is that? The second infinite. You remove the second infinite from the first. Then what will remain? The first infinite will remain. How will you remove the second infinite? Through the knowledge. What knowledge? Analyze the second infinite. When you say name, what is this name? It is given for that form. What is that form? Actually made of clay. So essentially it is clay. You break that form, what will remain? Clay will remain. So this name and form, this Lakshmi Narayan, is what changes. But, you know, when you say there is tree, the tree is, you cut the tree, then what do you say? Log is. You make the logs into table, say table is. Then you burn the table, say ashes. So, the tree is one name and form. Log is one name and form. Table is one name and form. But in this tree, in this log, in this table, there is this isness. That isness pervades the tree, isness pervades the log, isness pervades the table. The isness pervades the ash. Ash is. So that isness always remains. That's the pure consciousness. So, actually, what is that table? What is that ash? What is that? It's a name and form. So with this knowledge you remove that. Then what remains? That isness remains. That's all he says. Purnasya Purnamada. So when this world has come about due to your mind, these names and forms has come about, because of that, nothing has happened to Brahman. And similarly, when you gain this knowledge and remove the names and forms, then also nothing happens. What remains is Brahman. That's all he says. It's a beautiful invocation. So, how do you remove the names and forms with the knowledge that you remove? Remove names and forms doesn't mean you take a duster and remove. With the knowledge, you understand that this name and form is nothing but essentially clay, gold, pure consciousness. Once we understand that, what remains is pure consciousness. Then finally he chants, Om Shanti. The first Shanti is loud and long. It is addressed to the cosmic disturbance. The disturbance at the cosmic level, like lightning, etc. Then the second Shanti is addressed to terrestrial disturbance. Then the last Shanti is addressed to the disturbance within. There are three obstacles that can come. Far away, immediate, and within. All these disturbances can happen, but we have the ability to deal with them. So he prays to the Lord that, oh Lord, I have the ability to deal with it. Please give me that. Om, peace, peace, peace. Let there be no disturbance from the cosmic or terrestrial or from within. Don't give me those disturbances. Even if it is there, please give me the strength. You be with me to deal with them so that I don't get distracted from the chosen goal. I'm always moving towards the truth. So this is called Shanti Path. They pray to the Lord to remove the obstacles and deal with the obstacles, to give them the strength to be able to fight it out. It's not easy. We have understood the knowledge, but we still need to put in the effort to convert it into wisdom. And there is a lot of obstacles that will come. Externally, coronavirus situation is there. And as a result, like before the class, Ritaji was saying, it's a very tough situation. And Ritaji was saying that, you know, so many people at home have fallen sick, and there was even a death of a driver. It's very tough to digest all these kind of things. This is the challenge at the external level. And internal level, she might have some other kind of challenges. But in spite of all this, one should continue this up. That's the toughness. That's the difficulty. Not easy. So we should continue to convert the knowledge into wisdom. Then we will be able to remove the names and forms, and what remains the substratum. That substratum, the one. That reality, the one. So this whole that is available to our senses, mind and intellect is paripurna, no doubt, but it is superimposed, not the substratum. The real paripurna is the substratum. And that the Upanishad talks about. And that when we reach, we really reach the Shanti. Because all the desires, everything would have gone. Because we are not at the superficial level anymore. So that's what the student is venturing to achieve. So they chant this Shanti path. So let's conclude now. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Nirmala Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Vayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Bhujyatmanava Prakate Svabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayana Eti Samarpayami. Hari Om.